Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review a tasty treat from Argentina, namely the Santa Julia Reserva Mountain Blend. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here. How are you, Wilfred? I mean, Rob.
I'm fine. Thank you for asking, Scott. Hey, Scott. I reviewed some new wines on wine.com, and they were Oliver Winery's wines from Indiana. Did you see it?
Indiana.
Yes, I reviewed the Blueberry Moscato. My review was commentary. The Oliver Blueberry Moscato is a tasty treat. Yes. Tasting notes. This wine shines with aromas and flavors of bright blueberries. Okay.
Wait, there's a surprise, Wilfred.
As it finishes
stunning
with a pleasant
and
sweetness.
Astute observation.
Enjoy it with fresh berry tarts.
I wonder if he means Pop Tarts.
Yeah, I bet that's what Wilfred means.
It tastes like blueberries, Wilfred. That's great.
So wise. You're so wise, Rob. I mean, Wilfred.
The blueberry Moscato, the cherry Moscato.
Wilfred, wrong, folks.
I wonder if a cherry Moscato tastes like cherries.
In the background,
it did.
Yes, this wine brings aromas and flavors of light cherries.
Wow. And then the lemon. Hey, Wilford, what'd the lemon taste like?
Well, now that you ask, this wine exhibits aromas and flavors of dried lemon peel and other tart citrine. I think, like, you guys are making fun of me for reviewing Oliver wines. That's probably racist from people in Indiana. Mike Pence is from Indiana, you know.
Is he?
He is. You know, he also is a... Never mind, I can't say that, but still... I'll be back later. Scott, I have some new pickup lines I'm going to try on you.
That's great.
See if it works, okay?
In the background, Rob's playing music. His new theme song is an ode to Wilfred. Oh, Wilfred, you.
Yeah.
You got what I need.
It must work, then.
You say I'm just a friend. You say I'm just a friend. Oh, Wilfred, you.
I don't even know.
You got blueberry wine.
I don't even know what your name is.
Anyway. On tonight's show, we have a wine from Argentina, and it's from Santa Julia, and it's their Reserva Mountain Blend. It is Malbec and Cab Franc. I do believe it is 70-30 Malbec to Cab Franc. They refer to this as a Bordeaux blend, when both of those grapes technically are Bordeaux reds, but I don't know how Bordeaux-esque this wine will taste.
Well, even beyond that, is there a single producer in France that produces a Bordeaux blend of 70% Malbec and Cab Franc?
Well, you know that there is. It's just not a good producer.
Is there?
Yes. This wine, though, is very, very cheap. It's $11.99.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful.
A tasty treat.
We don't know.
It doesn't taste like blueberries.
We don't know yet. Do
it's
we?
Like, this tastes like raspberry. But this wine should be an interesting departure. We've done a few Italians recently. We have more Italians to come, but I wanted to break it up a little bit. And well, God, I didn't want to do Australian. So, well, we will do Australian later tonight, but, you know.
Are you going to do a Becky impression? Her old varietal shaming of people.
I love Argentinian Malbec. I don't like it when they do like Malbec. And they say, I like Argentinian Malbec. I'm like, no, it's stupid.
Partly because it is.
Yeah, Becky was not a fan of Malbecs.
No, she wasn't a fan of the people that...
I like a Malbec. And quite frankly...
She's not one to judge peeps, but she judges those peeps.
Well, she wasn't really wrong, you know, because normal... Well, they're the ones that get stuff out of wine clubs.
Mm-hmm. I got Malbec. It's so juicy and fruity. I like it.
That's not Becky. That's the person that drinks the Malbec. So, you know, they sound similar, but still.
Well,
you know, one has Russian ties. Anyway, Becky sent me a news clipping this week about Porchenko, whatever the hell his name is no longer in Belarus. I was like, why didn't you just send me the voicemail from Lushenko as opposed to, you know, a news article I already knew about? She's like, oh my gosh, that's so stupid. You're so stupid.
I'm not certain Prigozhin was ever in Belarus.
No, probably not. But we could ask Becky and she'll know. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back and I'm going to provide some more information about this wine.
Oh.
And we're going to drink here on the Wine Vault. Everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Santa Julia Mountain Blend. Is that what it was, Mountain Blend?
The
Reserva. This wine does have some actual chops to it. First of all, it's 10 months on French oak barrels, which is, for a $12 wine, pretty impressive. I mean, we haven't tasted it yet, but just on its face, it's pretty impressive. They think, Santa Julia thinks, that it has a complex nose with typical Malbec aromas of red and black fruits such as cherries and plums. Okay. Marmalade. And then they think it might have a little bit of tomato leaves and spices provided by the Cabernet Franc. So they're just looking at wine folly and looking at what those things normally smell like. Flavor, they think that there's some for black fruits and tannin, making a perfect combination, which translates into an elegant and complex wine for great concentration. Great. This is from Unco Valley, Mendoza, Argentina. And so it does have a couple reviews. The first...
Thank you. I need no introduction. But I am James Suckley, and I have an Instagram page and OnlyFans and Fansly, and let's just not talk about that. The masterclass didn't
how
work
is
out.
How's that working out for the masterclass?
Failed.
You failed?
Failed.
You failed your own masterclass.
No, I have
you?
To show my own ass. On.
I bet you're good at that.
I know. He is, actually.
I feel uncomfortable. I have one fan. Wilford's entire paycheck from everything that he does, wherever it is, all goes to me through my OnlyFans site. It's fantastic. Anyway, I provided this wine the dreaded 91 of my points, and I wrote, notes of black cherries and dark berries, plums, lavender, lemon zest, hazelnuts, and tobacco leaves. Jesus Christ. It is medium-bodied with fine-grained tannins, vibrant, fruity, and gently peppery with a fresh, succulent finish. Drink me or hold me.
Me now. Warm James Hart.
And this is a southern man. I'm going to review another or read another review that has been posted for this wine.
Well, it's Argentina, so it is south. That's your territory, right? I'm
from the south. Yes, not
Argentina.
That, not down there with them.
No.
Them people. No. They're all on the drugs down there.
Southern man, you know you can't say.
I was going to say something else, but
them people.
Even through a voice, it still sounds bad.
It does.
You can't do that.
It does.
You shouldn't. No. Anyway, Robert Parker, or one of his staffers that he now hired because he no longer really works, they provided it 91 of their points. And they wrote, the 2021 Reserva Malbec Cabernet Franc has the backbone and tannic structure of the 30% Cabernet Franc that complements neatly the Malbec, and especially for this kind of Malbec, which doesn't have the mineral backbone of the higher ranges. apparently they're saying this is a shitty Malbec.
Well, traditionally, the higher in elevation, the more acidity the Malbec's going to have.
And strangely enough, that's where the review ends. It doesn't talk about anything else.
Well, it's the Southern Man on behalf of Robert Packer's wine advocate.
It's Robert Parker, not Robert Packer.
Robert Packer.
We don't know what you and Wilford do, but we don't want to talk about that shit. So...
Welcome to the mind of the wine guy.
I'm just saying. In the glass, it is dark. Very dark.
In the telltale sight for a Malbec, it'll have that slightly magenta ring at the rim of the glass.
But,
and this has that in spades.
But it's extremely extracted, so it's crimson, but even almost quasi-purpley. Looks like a Shiraz, really. But on the nose is where we're really going to start.
Legs are a little weird. They're a little thin, a little slow to develop. Looks a little thin on the glass when you swirl it and take a look at it.
The nose, some might say that's floral. I think it's a little bubblegummy.
Yeah, I would say this is as classic a bubblegummy as there is. How long has this been decanting?
Well, what time is it? Oh, about an hour.
Okay.
Cherry bubblegum. You could say there's menthol and lavender there, but it's not. It's cherry bubblegum.
It's minty. Bazooka Joe pink bubblegum.
I mean, it's nice smelling bubblegum, though. We're not talking about cheap bubblegum. Nice smelling bubblegum, but bubblegummy nonetheless. And that, where does that come from? That comes from these two grapes. They can work that way. There is a slight herbal aspect in the background, kind of like the tomato leaf that they're talking about, but it's kind of overpowered by that front.
Yeah, it's a subtle herbal thing. I mean, you could call it earthy, but it's so subtle it's hard to characterize it as one thing or another. But tomato leaf, that's one of the more pungent things you can put your nose to. Tomato leaf. You handle tomato plants, you get that tomato leaf smell on your hands, it's not coming off.
That smells. Yeah, it's there. It's not tobacco. It's greenery. So
it's greenery.
It's not green like you would think of South America. It's not green pepper or anything like that. It just has a little bit of a green leafiness to it.
The nose does not exhibit to us anything like the reviews or the winemaker themselves describe.
But I would rather smell this than 90% of the Californian Cabernets that are $12.
Yeah.
How's that?
And I'll tell you, this is not a bad nose. It's just rather nondescript.
It is, but if you're not paying attention, you might think that has a floral nose. I think it's bubblegummy, but some people might come across and say, oh, that has a menthol floral aspect to it. Maybe honeysuckle or violets, but
our response would be, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure does.
That's a half glass full.
Of course it does.
Sure.
But let's give this wine its props. Year in, year out, 90s.
Mm-hmm.
James Suckling, Robert Parker, wine enthusiast.
Well, I mean,
91.
Yeah, the 19
$12 bottle of wine.
Yeah, the 20 got the same scores. This is the 2021, so this got a 91 from Parker and James. 2020, Parker, James, 91s. 19, 92 from James. The 18, the Parker, the enthusiast, and James gave it 91s. And then the 16, 90 from Parker. The 15, and 95 from the decanter.
That's consistency.
Well, and all these scores are indicative of value scoring, so they're taking into account the price, probably.
Well,
but still, they're saying it's consistent, and they're saying that they think it's that has merit. So, let's go in there. Let's taste this thing.
We poo-poo that habit. Score the wine on its merits, not on the cost. There is substance to saying wine has great quality to cost the value of it, but you don't change the Olympic score. We have the integrity. Well, I do. Rob has zero integrity. Well, when he's portraying Wilfred, he has some integrity, but it's of questionable moral characteristics.
Are you going to drink, or are you going to ramble on?
Rambling.
Oof.
I'm going to sing my song.
For those that like flavor-forward wines, this wine is flavor-forward. I'll let Scott drink here, too. I think it's going to be better as I drink more.
He's going to let me. He's uncuffed the handcuffs that were behind my back. I was trying to
now that those I put those on you
in my mouth with my teeth.
Yes.
It's a skill. It's helpful when you're at home, you know, having fun. Oops. Let that slip out. Sorry, princess.
I'm going to start off by saying, at $12, it's an extremely heavy, big wine. There's not a lot of subtlety or nuance to it. It's more of a sledgehammer. But if you're looking for a sledgehammer, this wine
sledgehammer
is a brick through a glass window.
Oh, you call my name.
It's very robust black fruits. Very robust. Not all that descriptive black fruits. They're a bit muddled, but you would expect that in a cheaper wine. The oak is ever present.
Yep.
And it is peppery. It's very peppery.
It's on the verge of a little too much oak, but I don't think it quite gets there. If you're absolutely not a fan of oak,
it could
come across as being too much oak forward. With that fruit forward, it's oak as soon as it hits your palate.
It's just a big wine. It's very close to being full-bodied.
It handles that oak, in my opinion.
It does.
I could see how not everyone would care for that. However, you should. This style of oak, there are going to be a lot of wines that are oaked to this level, and you're going to miss out on a lot of good wines if you don't get past that.
This would, if you tasted this, it would give you kind of some insight into, okay, this is a little bit over the top, not the best, but big, big, ugly American Cabernets, kind of how they are framed in a certain sense, kind of a rough shot. Now, this doesn't have any of the qualities of those, but it has the girth that those things have. I'm a little shocked with those two grapes. They got something so big and verbose here.
It just has a lot of body.
It does. Well, Malbec's going to have a lot of body, but normally not a cheap Malbec. Those are bubblegummy. You know, if you're getting Alamos Malbec, that's terrible, you know? But this isn't. Montes, cheap Montes. Not, there's nothing there.
I tell you, there's plenty of people that really appreciate the Kirkland Malbec.
Yeah. They should.
You should try. Well, it didn't hit well with us.
No.
But, you know, this is a couple bucks more. You should try it.
Yeah, if you drink, if you're a fan of The Prisoner, you should be drinking this.
Yeah,
this is, I think, as sussed out as The Prisoner, and it is oaky like The Prisoner.
In a percentage of the price,
mm-hmm. a fraction of the price. Just, any of those kind of, I don't know what you'd call them, renegade reds from the United States. This wine is down that vein, but a fraction of the price, and probably done better. You know, done better. This is the best thing I've ever seen from them, because I've never been a fan of their stuff.
Saint Julian.
No, not really. I mean,
well, I think if you put The Prisoner side by side with this, I think most people would probably prefer The Prisoner, but it's a quarter of the price.
You'd be hard pressed to pick the difference between the two.
It'd be a quarter of the price.
If you put just novice, everyday drinkers that like The Prisoner, but don't drink it enough to like have muscle memory,
yeah,
they're not all going to pick.
No,
they're going to sometimes pick this wine as being The Prisoner. If the test was which is The Prisoner, not everybody. I don't know that I would. I mean, if I've had it recently, but you're not going, because the wines have such a similar oak profile and fruit. I mean, the fruit flavors are very, very similar. Savory black fruit. And the Prisoner, though, has more currant. But, and it's also has a lot more, it has Zin, but it doesn't come across that way. But they both have kind of a hardness to them. This wine, its fruit is nondescript, but it's bold and hard. And there's maybe just a little kiss of tar that's in there. And
I think this one just comes off a little bit brash in comparison to the Prisoner. The Prisoner's not my favorite wine.
I said drink or hold.
But, you know, we didn't really want to care for the Prisoner. And we liked it. It was really good.
But not at $50-some.
Is it worth that much money? No.
It's a $15 wine.
No, it's not. But it had some premium characteristics about it. Where this one, this is a really good wine for the price.
Yes.
And
Princess was like this, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just depends on how the oaking hit her.
Well, fair enough.
And
Becky wouldn't like it.
She just still struggles with any oak-forward wine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is fine. That's her palate. That's her right. It's her journey.
I think it would surprise people at $12 how oaky this is. But when they, as a matter of fact, if you're blind tasting this, you would not think that it's $12.
No.
I mean, now,
not at all.
It's $12 in its complexity in the fruit. The fruit is completely nondescript other than being black fruit. Okay.
Okay.
So is it a, I don't know, is it a blackberry? No. Black currant, maybe. Cassis, not so much. You don't really know. But it does have oak. There's a little bit of tar element, maybe even just with a little bit of time in the bottle, it might get a little bit more tobacco through the mid palate and make it really nice. Maybe short-term cellaring, if you had got a dozen bottles of these, hold it for 1 year and then drink it after 1 year, and I think it would drink really, really nice.
Yeah.
1 year, I wouldn't do.
I wouldn't hold this for too long.
No, but I think 1 year would settle it down.
Yeah. You know that, you're calling tobacco, maybe rubber, like tire rubber.
Vulcanized rubber.
Almost.
Down, kind of an asphalt kind of. Yeah.
Down that road.
Yeah.
But would that come out more with a little time in the bottle?
I don't think so. I think that's going to lengthen and smooth into something that's a little bit more down tobacco, something like that.
Where, you know, this wine isn't acidic really at all, and fortunately
it's tannic,
for the way
though.
They've done this, it doesn't need that.
No, but it's tannic.
It's
very tannic.
Very tannic.
Thick, rich.
It would be nice if it did exhibit more of the Cab Franc on both the nose and in the bottle, but
give it a little complexity. Yeah.
It doesn't need it.
It doesn't. And you know, the thing with me, whenever you drink this, you're like, my God, that's very weighty. Then you're expecting the residual sugar to kick in, because where else are you going to get that kind of weight and size? But it never happens.
It doesn't.
It stays dry.
I'll bet the Cab Franc that is in this would be a really nice, just easy, straightforward, not a lot of complexity, just drinker.
Probably.
You know, where the Malbec's the burly thing. And it's just, you know, this
we
is
always
a really
forget.
Well done.
Yeah. We always forget. Malbec is a big, heavy wine, especially in better ones. Now, with better, you get more nuance. What we always get saddled with are crappy little bubblegummy pieces of shit. That is the outlier from Malbec. You know, if you ever have Vaglio, that's a bastard of a Malbec, but they are juicy. They are grippy. They are a rich, decadent red, most generally when they're done right.
Mm-hmm. But when you go to the restaurant and you see, oh, there's an Argentinian Malbec on the menu, let me try that.
It's probably not the right one.
It's probably not the right one.
No, because they don't sell in the upscale level not that well. I mean, they just don't.
They're just not going to. And that's really where you want to go. If you want to experience...
$25-$30
Yeah, at least. We're here, and yes, it's not 100% varietal. This is a nice Malbec.
This is about as good as you're going to get under 15 for this kind of stuff. I mean... Apatagua does some nice things, but that it's not as they're just lighter. Montez isn't bad. La Postale isn't bad at all.
No, it's not bad at all.
But those are all leaner, more characteristic, you know, reds. But even in the Malbec section, they don't get rich like this.
This is
Las Hormigas. That was very good.
Yeah, we liked that a lot.
But that was a fresher, more vibrant Malbec.
It was different stylistically. It wasn't oak this way. I don't know that
stainless or no, it was concrete.
Concrete. I don't know that any of those Malbecs could head the body and the structure to manage this oaking.
No.
And with the tannic backbone, this oaking, that's the star of the wine, the way the maker said, this is what we can do. We're going to go 10 months. I'm curious if that's what they always do, 10 months, or if they decided that's what they're doing with this vintage. But regardless, they nailed it. That's what makes this wine so good.
Well, they should be selling this at $20. Although, there are some really good wines from South America at $20. Who are they? Shit. It doesn't matter. There are a lot of good $20 ones.
Anybody that tries this at 12, if all of a sudden they bump it to 15, sure, you're going to complain, but you're going to go, I'm still buying it at 15.
But it's $11.99.
Everybody should have this. Everybody should have this.
They should.
Seriously, this is... It just should be in your wheelhouse. If you like to drink red wine and you're alcoholics like we are...
Yep.
This is something you should regularly buy a couple bottles of because you're an alcoholic and you're going to consume and you might as well drink good wine. And this is a good wine.
It is a good wine. It is a good wine. What would you pair it with?
Almost anything. I mean, I would keep it simple, you know, just good hearty fare. I wouldn't necessarily pull this out if I'm going to grill ribeye steaks, but, burgers and, you know, summer fare like that, you know, it's the season we're in now. This would be a great red wine for traditional barbecue backyard Americana.
Imagine, though, this as a reduction with short ribs.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
This would be a fantastic.
It would do well with that. It would do well with brisket. This would do well with those fatty meats, not ribeye. Partly because if you're going to get
slow cooked meats,
if you're going to get a really great ribeye, use something a little better. But
a whole roasted chicken, ooey gooey chicken, chicken thighs that you roast off in the oven.
But folks, this is big enough to go with those cuts of grilled meat. They are, but I think it'd be better picana, that would be good. I mean, but really the slow roasted meats. Yeah. That would be, this would do well actually with lamb lollipops.
Ooh.
Because of the fattiness.
Just a dry rubbed, slow smoked barbecue rib. Not with sweet barbecue sauce, but just a nice dry rub rib.
Beef ribs or pork ribs.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Why not beef ribs?
Mm-hmm. This would be doing really well with those.
I love doing beef ribs cut to individual pieces and then slow roasting them, almost like braising them in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
I just love doing that.
Well, it would do well. Yeah, it would do well with this, with a really decadent stew as well.
Yes.
A beef stew, like short ribs. And, you know, if you made, oxtail.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Again, for the reduction to cook with that.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, I know.
When I think about that and when I want to do meat in that style where I'm slow roasting it, I always like to use tomato.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like some red wines you can finish in a red tomato sauce. some you can't. I think this would do well, particularly after you had slow roasted meat in it. Remove the meat and then kind of puree up the tomatoes to make a nice little sauce with the beef fat drippings and just, you know, add a little red wine to that. Be freaking nice.
I think you're starting to see, folks, we think this wine is decadent.
We like this wine.
Bravo.
And again, some wines, I think, let me back up. Often you hear, well, you don't want to cook with wine you wouldn't drink. But still, just because a wine's good doesn't often lend itself to cooking in the way we're talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This wine does.
This wine does because it has a richness to it. Some wines, I like to drink them, but what the hell? You're not going to cook with it. I mean, the Italian thing we just did, the Il Montalano, whatever the hell it was, the Il Volvo? Oh, no, Volno.
Volno.
The Volno, we liked it. But what the hell are you going to cook with it? Yeah. I suppose you could do a red sauce, but you're not going to cook with that. You're not. You know, you're going to cook with this. This would be good in a red sauce. This would be good, good, good. This is like a culinary treat where you're making something, then you're drinking at the same time.
Yeah. I just think the big body of it, the tannin structure of it, but also that way it's old lends itself to cooking. All the above.
Delicious shrimp and grits. Cheesy grits with this.
Interesting.
Yeah. Cheesy grits with this would be. Ooh.
Interesting.
Oh, yes. Yes. Be nice.
Hyde Park. Early dinner menu.
The chopsteak. Yes. Yes, yes,
decadent,
yes,
mushroom,
yes,
gravy.
This is, last time I had that with Justin Cabernet. And this is down that same road. That's a lot more refined wine than this, but same road. Same road, decadence.
Yes.
Decadence. Well, we're going to take a break, folks.
Oh, no, wait. Before we go, I have a question for Scott. I have one of my pickup lines. I'm going to try this, Scott.
You're trying this on me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm ready.
Hey, Scott.
Am I sitting at a bar? I just need some context.
Yeah, you say you're in a bar.
Okay.
That bar that you normally go to anyway, yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't really narrow it down.
No, I feel awkward saying this to you. But anyway, Scott.
Yes. What do you want, Wilfred?
Yeah. Stop undressing me with your eyes. Use your teeth. Or Scott. How's that? No, here's another one. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Wilfred.
Yes. I'm not a weatherman.
Plainly you're not.
But you can expect a few more inches tonight.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Hey, Scott.
I'm comfortable in my own sexism, but I might have to smack you on that one, sir.
Scott.
Yes, sir.
I'm always on top of important things.
Are you?
Yes. Would you like to be on the list?
No.
Okay. I've used these lines in public. I was talking to myself, so it worked out. I still slap myself in the face.
It's good. It's practice. You're ready for the response.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Wilfred.
Is there a mirror in your pants?
No, there's not.
Oh, because I can see myself in them.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
You smacked yourself twice for that one, I hope.
Oh. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Wilfred.
Are your ankles having a party?
No, they're not.
Well, because I think your pants should come on down. Visit your ankles. You get it?
Yeah. I think we're going to break.
That's true. Jesus.
Pretty sure.
Folks, whatever you do, don't ever say anything like that to anybody. Maybe do it. Do it.
Yeah,
I think
you
should do it.
No, go ahead.
Go into Applebee's and say that to someone.
And tell them Rob the wine guy. I mean, Wilfred, the voice in Rob's head.
Yeah.
Said that. Wilfred wrong.
Live your life, folks. YOLO.
So, folks, we're going to take a break. Be right back.
YOLO.
Here on the Wine Vault. All right. And we're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, Scott, I'm going to go through some varietals. I want you, and we're both going to say, what we like the most about them and what we like the least about them. Okay?
Cranberry compote on a nice turkey sandwich.
Scott wants to do sandwich cheats.
I don't do sandwich
You're
cheats.
You're welcome, folks. Anyway, the first varietal, Scott, what do you like the most about Sangiovese?
Well, if I was going to make a grilled cheese sandwich, I might use good olive oil and garlic butter.
That's great.
Instead of just butter.
No, Sangiovese.
No, Sangiovese. Well, when I think Sangiovese, I think classic Italian cuisine.
You think the food associated with it?
It makes me think of memories of having Sangiovese with great Italian food. Whether it's at home, somebody else's house, or out at a good restaurant.
I think back the first time I ever experienced Sangiovese, it was when I was working at Anderson's, and we would have closeouts. And I don't know what the hell, I can't remember what brand it was, but we had a closeout, it was $4.99. And the stuff probably was from 1912. And I hated it. I thought it was disgusting. But then I realized, you know, this is cheap shit. What I love, and I never really messed with Sangiovese. Quite frankly, you know, there were Chianti and stuff like that. But that was a lot of back in the day. That was, you know, I like Via Cafaggio. I liked a few other things. But for the most part, you know, Chianti and whatnot was associated with wicker baskets, you know, and stuff like that. As you get older, then you realize, no, it's not that. But I like, and you're going to have to spend to get to this, but when you get the right Sangiovese, you know, it's oaked a little bit on Slovenian or Croatian oak, and it has a beautiful silkiness. It's elegant. Great Chianti is elegant. The flavors are one thing. You go there for the mouthfeel. Just the way it slides across your palate. I mean, the elegance of great Chianti silkiness, without necessarily being overly weighty, is such a wonderful experience just to have once in a while. But you got to spend. And, you know, but when you find that right one, wow.
And it is, the more I've participated in that grape, you realize the different ways it presents. Mm-hmm. You go to Little Italy in New York City. You get house Chianti. It's going to be sweet.
It can be, yeah.
It's going to be sweet, you know. Mm-hmm. So it can be different things to different people. There's nothing wrong with that presentation of it. It's not my go-to.
Well, that's because it's got, you know, whatever it has in it. Concord probably makes it.
Oh, easy. You're going to be Little Italy's going to target you, sir. You're never allowed back.
Not particularly concerned, but that's all right.
But you should be concerned. You should be very concerned. The Gambino family's after you, son.
Oh, God. And what's your least favorite aspect about Chianti? Or Sangiovese?
Little Italy house Chianti's that are sweet like that.
Yeah.
For me, but I didn't mock them the way you did.
But for me, they can also be lean and overtly acidic. I mean, Chianti is acidic, but it can't be. Weedy, lean, shitty. Cheap ones aren't good.
And often, Italian reds are more on the relatively leaner, not as fuller bodied. But when you get it's completely lean, it's not good. It's not a good look for them.
It's hard. You've never heard of that. We've never told you about this secret $7 Sangiovese that's amazing that we've had, because we haven't had that. So
it's
it can be bad.
You know, it's that buddy who he's going out and he's wearing the corduroy pants. It's like, dude, no, it's not a good look on anybody. Put the corduroy away. Same thing with a lean Sangiovese. It's just not a good look.
No. Next one. This is going to be difficult for me. Tite Sorrel.
I love the Turley, all their Petit Sorrels. aged. Didn't realize it until the first two bottles I bought. I'd had them for 4 years. Didn't realize it. We were in the new house, and a guy who was dating a lady friend of ours, he was doing some work for us, and we were having a wine night at the house, and we went through two of those bottles, and I realized how wonderful a Turley that has just a little bit of age in their Petite Syrah line is. Also, first kind of sort of regular exposure to it when we were going through the early stages of the wine podcast. Often in the California Zins, they're blended with Petite Syrah. Mm-hmm. And you notice the ones that do and the ones that don't. Petite Syrah adds that a little more body, a little different fruit element to them. And yeah, so those are two things come to mind for me.
The fact
also,
that you like
if you're
Turley.
Grilling burgers, always toast the buns. A little sandwich cheese.
Sandwich cheese, yeah. Scott's mixing in that. For me, the good part, I don't have to drink it. And no.
Rob loves
I'm challenging
my Petite Syrah. He loves drinking my Petite Syrah.
Well, yes. The best part about Petite Syrah is Scott's the one that buys it, so I'll drink his. And I don't have to spend money.
This is the best thing about Petite Syrah
yeah.
for you.
Now, occasionally, it will hit right and be a great wine. It's different. You know, you're going to get the pencil edge. You're going to get a little bit of off-kilter bigness with a Petite Syrah that you just don't experience most generally elsewhere. Don't go cheap, mind you. I mean, a cheap Petite Syrah is god-fucking-awful. Yeah. My worst experience with Petite Syrah was A, Bogle.
Yeah, I was going to say Bogle.
B, it was election night of 2016.
Oh,
we were drinking that. Becky's like, Hillary's gonna win. Oh shit, she didn't. It's like a fuck you, Bogle Petite Syrah.
That's what you drank.
Yeah,
that's why Dum Dum got elected. Probably. You drank Bogle Petite Syrah
on
election night.
It's gonna be so great, Hillary 2016.
It didn't age well. No,
it hasn't aged well.
So didn't
it? It's
like, doesn't she need to win a state, Becky?
No. No, that night in Bogle Petite Syrah didn't age well.
Why didn't Hillary win Texas?
I
can tell you why.
Why did she win Wisconsin?
Because they didn't like her.
Because she didn't show up.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't she win Florida?
I don't know. I remember when I went to the rally with Becky, and yeah, I voted for her, but I would have voted for somebody else if they would have gotten the nomination, but gladly. But we went to her rally in Columbus, and it was the biggest clusterfuck you've ever been to.
He still wears the T-shirt, folks.
There was no T-shirt. But it was the biggest clusterfuck you've ever been to. So I had my doubts at that thing. But still. Next.
The history of American politics would have been completely changed if whatever health impact caused her to not go to Milwaukee and not go to Detroit, Dum Dum would have been just another passing note.
Mm. Chardonnay.
Chardonnay. Chardonnay. Chardonnay. To be fair, not my favorite of the white varietals. I do enjoy a proper buttery Chardonnay, but I don't want to pay for it because Chardonnay is not my favorite. I'd rather have Turley Sauvignon Blanc. I'd rather have a French blend. I'd rather have a dry Riesling. I'd rather have a sweet Riesling. I'd rather have Grüner Veltliner.
Well,
I'd rather have some indigenous Italian white. I would always prefer an Italian white to any California Chardonnay, dollar for dollar, bang for your buck.
I like Chardonnay. That being said, I own no Chardonnays at all, 400 bottles, and I own no Chardonnay. I enjoy... I like it. It's one of those things. I like drinking out of Montrachet glasses. For those just looking at folks.
They're pretty.
We enjoy that. That's the reason why we like Chardonnay. No. But we've had like El Enemigo or El Amigo.
We liked it.
That's really great. Rayburn is nice. We like Duckhorn. We've liked many Chardonnays we've had. Rodney Strong and Chalk Hill, their stuff is very, very nice, except for the Sonoma. You've got to pay. It's pay to play. So you can't buy cheap Chardonnay and suddenly find something that's going to rock your world. It doesn't happen that way.
It doesn't.
You can find some values in Sauvignon Blanc and some other things out there. You don't find it in Chardonnay.
I think if you know, KJ's.
KJ's fine.
Vintner Reserve Series is fine. It's a decent, good go.
It's not going to teach you anything,
but
though.
But it's not that buttery style. The Rayburn is the Chardonnay that
it's lifesavers is what it's tropical lifesavers.
I'm gonna buy Rayburn if I'm gonna buy a Chardonnay to have for a guest.
Rayburn is superior to KJ in all respects, but
a little bit more.
Even there, not that much more.
It's
$2, $3.
Stylistically,
honestly though, I think that Kim Crawford's Chardonnay is better than Kendall Jackson. It's a little drier. You can't find that much anymore.
Have we done that on the show? I don't recall that on the show.
You and I drank it on the show. I don't know if it ever aired, but yeah, we drank a bottle of it. Yeah,
the
Chardonnay. I don't think we've done the Pinot on the show, but I've had the Pinot a few times.
We did the Pinot on the show.
Did we?
Yes.
I mean, I like the Pinot.
Yes,
it's a good Pinot. It's dry, which is our next one, Pinot Noir. I enjoy Pinot Noir because of the subtleness. It's lighter. If I've been doing cab, I love the nuance and elegance of Pinot. The thing is, and this is the thing, I enjoy a Pinot that's a little more austere. And sometimes they can be a little bit showy, especially from California. And hell, even Willamette and whatnot can have some bigger showy things. So it's hard for me to find. I mean, I still will drink them. I still will enjoy them. But I really like the nuance, more French style. But to get good French Pinot, you're spending a lot of money. Not that I don't spend a lot of money on Pinot, I do, but I normally direct more of my stuff to some other bigger reds, but I like the more austere, mineral-driven Pinots, and those are a little more harder to find.
I'm going to say this about Pinots. It's something I want to spend more time approaching different Pinots in the future. When I think of Pinot, I think of the Oregon Pinots I've had. But my problem is I one-off them. I don't invest in, I like that one, let me get six more. That's my problem with Pinot.
They're one-offs.
So. I need to commit to them. I've had some good ones. That Anyway,
Hitching Post, they make good Pinot.
No, now that's one that we liked. That's one Hitching that I've Post is good. Bought since. We can get it. And it's Love Block. We love Love Block.
Love Block's good. Well, New Zealand does Pinot really, really well. They don't do Bordeaux style reds well, but they do Pinot well. They do Pinot the way I like Pinot, a little more lean, a little more mineral driven. Maybe just a touch of the sea kind of comes in the wine. It's colder. It's colder. You want colder climate. And that does do that well there. So, New Zealand Pinot's the better ones. Hell, even like Oyster Bay makes a decent Pinot. And shit, they can't do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, their stuff is gross, but their Pinot is passable. It is.
Kim Crawford and the company formerly known as Kim Crawford.
Love Block
and Kim Crawford. There's the Pinots I would go to.
Encartment. There's Escarpment. I'm sorry. Escarpment. There's now Australia's even getting into the Pinot business. So.
Yeah,
they have some good ones.
I haven't played that one. Mm. But that's what when I think of Pinot, I think of future activity on my part to do better with a grape. And my reticence to commit to, I'm going to buy six bottles of this bottle that I really liked has just been failure on my part. I've enjoyed them. When I've committed to having Pinot and cellar it for a couple years, I've always been happy with it. But then I go, fuck, I wish I'd had four more bottles of that. And I've just, that's where you drop the ball. Where I've dropped the ball. So future, I think of the future with Pinot.
And lastly, I go off the beaten path. And I'm going to say,
Carignan. Verts a minor?
Carignan. Carignan.
I have to think of blend, different blends that have it in it.
I know one that does just straight Carignan. It's lovely.
We'll go ahead and talk about it.
It's Turley.
Sure.
Their Carignan is lovely.
Yeah.
They do a bait. What is it, $20?
I don't remember what our offering was. I think it was
$20.
I think it was a little more.
No, it's $20. Mm. And it's a delight. It's Carignan, isn't it? That's one thing I never. It's Carignan.
I remember it in their blend. I remember it in the Casa Noyster blend.
Yeah. It's the Carignan. Make sure that's Carignan. I don't want to sound stupid.
I'm pretty sure
it is Carignan. And it's an absolute complete delight. It's a wonderful substitute for Pinot or Gamay. It's somewhere in between. The nose on those can be so aromatic, especially if you get a good one. Garage Company also does really good Carignan.
Yes.
Yeah. Lovely little things. And if you can find that grape out there, try it. Give it a whirl. If you like Pinot, if you like Gamay, you like lighter, brighter things that can be fun, that's a try. The bad thing about it is not many people make it. You know? That's the bad thing.
I think you can find it in Cali, but it's mostly going to be a blend.
Yeah.
And it does look like that's what it is entirely. It's a blend.
I'm sure it's not 100%, but it's still titled Carignan. Mm-hmm. It's a single vineyard, though.
Carignan is just... I think stylistically, I think of that Italian style, that leaner red wine.
I think, though, that's one of their better non-Zin releases. The Grenache that Turley does is not great. It's okay, but it's not great. But I think the Carignan, for Carignan, is great. It's a great wine. And so it's a pretty wine, but it's a great wine. So, folks, we are going to take a break. But then, we'll be right back here on the wine. Oh, I'm sorry, folks. We can't go anywhere. It's Cinsault. Scott found out it was Cinsault. I thought it wasn't Carignan. Carignan, though, is nice as well.
Carignan is in...
Cinsault. Yeah, Carignan is a little bit different. Well, no, Carignan also has that bright vibrance to it. I mean, but Carignan is not what I was talking about.
Well, you were talking about Cinsault. And certainly Cinsault is wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely a lighter bodied red, at least in their style that they're producing. And it is an incredibly...
I knew it wasn't Carignan.
Costa Fording.
Why didn't you look that up sooner? I knew it wasn't Carignan. I knew that didn't sound
you
right.
You asked me to look up Carignan, and oh, okay. I think it's in... Casa Nuestra and...
That's right. Yeah, that is a Rhone level. Yeah, Cinsault is a little bit off the beaten path, but they're both off the beaten path.
You're off the beaten path.
I defy you. What does Cinsault blend with, now I think about it? Same shit, though. I mean, you're going to find it in trace amounts in Rhone-style blends, aren't you?
Yeah, it's not the biggest...
No, it's the twinkle.
...production thing.
Yeah.
What we liked about the Cinsault, that I recall, that like it had like strawberry essence, like strawberry water.
Yeah.
This freshness about it.
And the floral elements on the nose just perk you up and you go, wow, that's fresh. That's bright. Is that a wildflower field?
I'm not a rosé fan like Rob is. He hasn't come out of the rosé closet yet. He loves rosé.
What?
But if I was going to make a rosé... I would think about Cinsault. I think it would be a fantastic exhibit of rosé.
Yeah, but I would keep it as red. So, folks, we're going to take a break. Well,
no, I don't think you would.
I would.
In your mind, you're like always looking at what you should make rosé out of because it's your secret passion. It's just very, very secret. You just you're just not comfortable enough in your wine life to announce to the world that, yes, you love rosé. It's okay. When you're more comfortable with yourself emotionally and spiritually, and maybe if you, you know, keep taking your pills and there aren't as many voices in your head, you can come to terms with the fact that you're a big fan of rosé. Until then, you know, I'll speak on your behalf.
Hey, Scott, your breasts remind me of Mount Rushmore. My face should be among them. Hey, Scott, do you mix concrete for a living?
No, I don't, Wilfred. Why do you ask?
Well, because you're making me hard.
What? That's the best you've got?
That's right. Yes.
Where's the sound of you smacking yourself? Not like that. I meant in the face.
Yes. Hey, Scott. How do lesbians have sex? I've tried this one. It didn't work.
I'm sure it didn't. I'm sure it didn't work.
It's too complicated. I'll just have to show you. Yeah.
That didn't work.
That's
the punchline?
That's the joke. Yeah, Ashley Hubbard wrote this. It's a lady who wrote this.
It's a pickup line.
She's not an attractive lady, by the way. Oh, good God. No, she's not.
Stop.
She's not attractive.
Well, you're not an attractive person yourself.
I'm more attractive than she is.
Well, depends how crusty your sweatpants
are. Sometimes you should just be anonymous. Don't have a picture of yourself. It's not always appropriate.
Works for me.
Or have it be very dark. Don't do outside where there's light. Don't do it. Now. Yes.
Be a vampire.
Let's try. Or just hope be around people that are blind.
So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the Santa Julia Reserva Mountain Blend. Scott, what is your Olympic score for this wine?
And first of all, highly recommended.
It is.
And if you're... first take to this is that it's a little too oak. I encourage you to stick with it. I think this is a prime example of a wine that for some palates, you're going to say it's too much oak for me. And I encourage you, stick with it. Get past that. Don't let your mind control you. It's okay to say I don't like oak. It really is philosophical shit. No, this is some philosophical shit. Yeah. But some wines are going to have more oaking than others. You're going to miss out on a lot of great wines if you say this wine's too oaked. And if that's your journey, then hey, be on it. But try this wine. Stick with it if you think it's a little too oaky for you because there's a really good wine in the background with it.
There is.
I really like this wine. I think it's just short of a couple little things would take it to a 90 and it's not there. I'm giving it an 89. If it had like a little more distinctness in that front palate and if the fruit and it, we say this, it sounds like it's a bad thing. It's just got muddled fruit. Well, and that's fine. This is the fruit that it is. It's great. The front palate's great on this wine. It's just, you can't pick out this or that, that makes it next level. The other thing is if this had just a kiss of acidity, oh my God, that would take just a bit of the edge off the brashness of this wine, and I love the brashness of this wine, but a kiss of acidity would just take this to the next level. I'm 89 all day. I could not recommend a $12 wine more than this. This is like Apatagua good. Now, I want to see it year in and year out perform the way Apatagua does.
Well, someone else has said that it does.
The reviewers have.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine that they do. I'm going to buy this to form my own opinion of that.
And on to me. I wanted to give it a 90, but Scott's right. It's just a little bit too muddled to get there. It needs definition in that front palate. Not a lot, just a little bit more. It's right on the cusp of that 90. It still gets my 89, but it's right on that edge. Maybe a year in the bottle, sat down, and it might suss out and have that 90.
Yeah, maybe I'd feel differently about it then.
It might, because it is a 2021. That's a fairly new wine. But right now, it is a big, beastly wine. It is one-dimensional in that sense. Not to say that it doesn't have other elements, but it's one-dimensional in that sense. It doesn't have a second pitch.
Yeah.
There's no off-speed. But its first pitch is really, really good. It's a top-notch wine. Bravo. They should be extremely proud of this wine. It should be everywhere. If you like red wines, you like big red wines. The fact that you haven't had this makes you a shithead.
Here's the thing.
Makes you a bad person.
I think this is a big production wine. Why isn't this in restaurants everywhere?
That should be.
I'm not saying everybody has a Malbec, but there's so many places that have a Malbec that are serving shit that is inferior.
There's no...
Not even close to the quality that this is.
There's no plausible excuse if you drink wine that you can have that you didn't drink this wine before and like it. Now,
what's our excuse then? Because we hadn't drank it before tonight.
I bought it.
We hadn't drank it before tonight.
No. Going on from today.
Oh, I see.
We're exempt. We drank it.
We're exempt.
Yeah, just saying.
No, I'm not exempting myself.
Your hat is very American, by the way. It's too American for me.
It's too American?
It's too American for me.
What do you mean it's too American?
If Becky saw it, it'd be like garlic, and she'd like catch on fire or some shit like that.
Oh, Jesus.
What is the Bulgarian flag? I can't remember what that is.
Belarusian flag.
Oh, that too.
She's from Belarus.
Well, the Bulgarians were like, you know what they said to
before
Ukraine?
The war, she was Ukraine.
Well,
she was Kiev.
On
behalf of the Russians?
Yes, yes.
Oh.
And so Bulgaria changing. Said to Ukraine, well, you're... There can be no winner in this war. It's, fuck you.
It's very astute observation.
And Zelensky's like, fuck you.
No, he's... Well, if the Bulgarian dude said that, he's right, but it's not an astute observer to say nobody wins in this war.
Zelensky told that guy to eat a dick, is what he told him.
Well, good for him. Yes, but he's a former comedian.
He's like, eat a dick. Yeah, I mean, what if he goes, I suppose you would like it if somebody invaded your country, dick fuck.
Yeah, no shit.
It's like, which anybody could do.
You're Bulgaria.
Yes, you're fucking Bulgaria. Eat a dick.
Except nobody even wants to invade your fucking
country. They don't. There's no fucking, but it's fucking Bulgaria. It's like, who's going to invade Bulgaria? Some place that it's worse for them. Mongolia is too far away, so they're not going.
Well, it's just like everybody's like, yeah, we hate those fucking Bulgarians, but nobody gives a shit about them.
The Ivory Coast can't really fuck with you because they're too far away. So, you know, And Becky would say Canada is too far away from you. So, yeah.
Blame Canada. Blame Canada. But 89, yeah.
Highly recommended.
Highly
recommended. Value price.
Hall of Fame.
The king of probably that. So. It's so close to 90s, but it's just.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Bravo. It is what it is. We could throw a 9 on there and say, yeah, it's 90 for the effort, or it's 90 because it was a $12 wine, but it's not.
If you take price into account, yeah, it's
but
90.
But we don't do that.
We don't do that. It's 91 if you take price into account. But
look, emotionally, that comes into play if you're going to do this. But, you know, in theory, many of these reviewers are doing this blind, and they're tasting the wine and... Maybe they know what the varietal is, but they don't know it's a $12 wine versus a whatever dollar wine.
It's a panel also. It could be a 50 to 100 wines. And they're sitting there, and they're giving it swish, 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 spit, It'd be swish, 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 spit twice again, right down the number.
Sounds like you just had seven teeth pulled.
It sounds like Scott's Friday night, if you ask me. That's right, folks. That's right. Scott walking down Main Street. Swish, 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 spit. That's his. Wait a minute. That's Wednesday night for Scott. Strange enough.
My 400 wines in my wine cellar.
He even has it on his phone.
125 of them are rosés.
Spit out night. Tuesday is swallow, so you know.
Ooh.
So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we are going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here
on swish, the... Swish, swish, spit.
On the Wine Vault. Good night.